Well, before we get into our study on Proverbs, we're going to be looking at a lot of different practical topics. If you were to read the first several chapters of the book, you see a lot of people calling to this person that this letter is written to. We looked at a couple weeks ago that the audience of the book of Proverbs is an inexperienced young person. Remember that? Those who are young that haven't had the life experience yet, and it's a father talking to his son, and he's trying to give them wisdom. But right after he introduces the book, he starts saying, "Hey, son, guess what? There's going to be all these other people that are going to be calling to you. There's all these invitations that you're going to be getting as you grow up." Okay? And he's going to highlight these different invitations, these different calls for you to come join these crowds. And then he's going to highlight wisdom and show the invitation that wisdom offers. Yes, sir?
I know why God died on the cross for us, that forgiveness for our sins.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, that's the most important truth in all the scripture right there. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple of invitations that we see in the book of Proverbs. All right, so the lesson for today is called You're Invited. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. All right, so Proverbs chapter 1. Two weeks ago, we looked at the first 7 verses, which is the introduction to the book. And then in verse 8, we see our first invitation. Let's look in chapter 1, verse 8. It says this: "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching. For they will be garland of favor on your head and pendants around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not be persuaded." So here's the first invitation, the first call that you get. You're invited to the good life party. The good life party. In the following verses in chapter 1, we see this group that's coming to this individual, this young person, and saying, "Hey, join us. You're invited. Come along with us." Let's read it, all right? So in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. If they say, 'Come with us, let's set an ambush and kill someone. Let's attack some innocent person just for fun. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol, whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of valuable property and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we'll all share the loot. My son, don't travel that road with them or set foot on their path, because their feet run toward evil and they hurry to shed blood. It is useless to spread a net where any bird can see it, but they set an ambush to kill themselves and they attack their own lives. And such are the paths of all those who make profit dishonestly. It takes the lives of those who receive it." So let's look at this good life party a little bit, this invitation to the good life. What is the lure? How do they lure you in? Well, a couple of things. Number one, the lure of power. In verse 11, it says, "Come with us, let us set an ambush and kill. Let us attack the innocent." So it's a sense of having power over others. Let's swallow them alive, right? We can exercise our authority, our power over those that are innocent around us. They use the lure of riches. We'll find all kinds of valuable property and fill our houses with plunder. And here's a really big one, the lure of family, of community. They say, verse 14, "Throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the same purse, the same loot. We'll come with us. We're together. We're united," right? So there's this camaraderie. There's the promise of riches. There's the lure of power. And all of these things are in this invitation. Now, you may read that and you'd be like, okay, this doesn't seem like an invitation. This doesn't sound like a temptation to me. Like, I haven't had someone come up to me and say, "Hey, let's go kill people and get rich." All right? Maybe that's not as prevalent. But remember this, guys. All right? Scripture is relevant and applicable in every scenario, across cultures, situations, countries, what have you. And while this may sound like a strange thing for you sitting here, there are some, transport yourself to some places where, let's say, like that gang life is prominent, right? A city. And these verses become directly relevant. Disregarding the lives of innocent people in order to gain wealth and doing it with a group that will accept you and embrace you as one of their own, right? Can you see how that might be a big lure, right? You get power. You get riches out of this, and you get a family out of this. That's why so many people, even like an inner city setting, Well, join a gang because it's a family, right? And there's this big lure. But even more indirectly, this lure applies to us today. I mean, how are the lures of power, riches, and family not tempting? You know, if we were given the guarantee, join this close-knit group of people who will have your back, and you'll be given power and success. Right? It speaks right to our worldly hearts, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we could say, really, this is kind of running with the wrong crowd. We could sum it up in that way, running with the wrong crowd. People that are up to no good, doing the wrong thing, but man, if you join them, you are one of them. Is that ever a temptation? Right? Man, if I know that everything they do isn't the best, but if I'm invited in, I'm part of the group. Being accepted by those who offer companionship but are up to no good. So this is a lure, right? This is the good life party, invitation to the good life party. But what happens if you accept this invitation? Did anyone notice what happens if you look near the end of the verse, end of that section, especially verses 17, 18, 19? What happens? Anyone want to tell me what happens if we accept that invitation? Elijah's got it. Oh, there we go. What happens, Elijah?
They pretty much die.
They die. Yeah, they pretty much die. Yep. All right. It's really interesting. Look in verse 17. It says, "For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird." Okay, now you may read that and be like, what is that talking about? That's kind of a weird proverb. What's it saying? It's saying, if a trap is in plain sight, it's not a trap, is it? If you're trying to catch a bird, and you go up and be like, hey, net, here, bird, here's a net, here it is, right? Right? That's true. That's true. Josie knows birds. Would that work, Josie?
Well, if it was car chickens,
they're
pretty stupid.
Okay. All right. We'll say this is a smart bird, right? All right. So it's saying, in vain in the sight of a bird, you don't spread a net right for anyone to see it. You don't lay a trap in an obvious spot. If you're trying to trap something, you disguise it. You make it not obvious. So in other words, if you accept this invitation, you're setting a trap for yourself. And it's a trap that you might not see. It might not be obvious until years from now. It's one of those things, you join the good life party, you join that crowd, and you might get that wealth. You might get that community. You might get that power for a long time. But as you're doing that, that net is getting slowly tangled around your feet. And what does it say in verses 18 and 19? But they set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of all who make profit dishonestly. It takes the lives of those who receive it. You'll be destroyed by the very thing you're chasing. So if you accept this invitation, the gain that you receive will be the very thing that destroys you. So Solomon says to his son, don't accept the invitation to this good life party. This crew of guys that are up to no good, that are trying to lure you in with this power and these riches and this community. Don't listen. If sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. And you'll see echoes of that all throughout the book of Proverbs. Yeah.
It's pretty much like the devil pretty much lured you in.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bible says that the devil is like the father of lies, and he tells lies to us, right?
It says in the Bible, he used to be an angel until he did something bad and lost.
That's right. Yeah, he's a fallen angel. That's absolutely right. So there's one invitation that you're going to get in your life, right? We're looking at the path of maturity, of going from simple to prudence, right? To wisdom. And you're going to get this invitation from time to time. What are you going to do with it? Well, in Proverbs says here, don't listen. Don't consent to that. Don't go with them. Don't be persuaded. But there's another invitation that shows up time and time again in the book of Proverbs. We saw the good life party. You also are invited to the secret pleasure party. And we see this in Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 6, and Proverbs chapter 7. And if you read those verses, you see pretty obvious. It's talking about sexual temptations. It's talking about sexual sins. How does this How does this invitation lure you in? Well, there's some obvious ones. Number one, the lure of flattery. You know what flattery is? Flattery is kind of like...
Giving false compliments.
Good, false compliments, right? So making you feel good about yourself with empty words that really don't have much genuineness behind it. In chapter 7, he tells us a story. He says, I noticed among the youths, I saw among the inexperienced, a young man lacking sense, and he's just wandering down the alleyways, and a woman comes and catches him. And it says in verses 13, he grabs him and kisses him, and she brazenly says to him, I've made my fellowship offerings. Today I fulfill my vows, so I've come out to meet you, to search for you, and I've found you, right? So these words are trying to, it makes you feel so special. It makes you feel wanted. Lure of flattery. And then the next lure that he has is the lure of privacy. Verse 18, through 19, says, my husband's gone a long journey. He'll never find out. He's taken a long bag of silver, which means he's not going to be back until the full moon. So we've got time. No one's going to find out. You have the lure of privacy. You have the lure of flattery. You feel good about yourself, and you think no one's going to find out. And man, if this is not a very prevalent temptation in our world today. And we talked about this. Remember our series on teens and technology? Where we talked about the lie of privacy. In our technological age, this invitation is all the more available and accessible. Right? It's been a lure for thousands of years. So this invitation is sent to the simple ones who have not yet had discretion and discernment, and they're vulnerable to this persuasion. Right? I don't have to go into detail to say that the lure, the invitation to fall into sexual sin, to pursue our own desires, to, you know, our own curiosity drive us towards certain directions. I don't have to tell us that that's an obvious invitation that you're going to receive time and time again as you grow up. And it is enticing. But what happens if you accept this invitation? Look in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Look in verse 7. Again, it's talking about resisting temptation. And it says in verse 7, so now, sons, listen to me. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. Otherwise, you will give up your vitality to others and your years to someone cruel. Strangers will drain your resources and your hard-earned pay will end up in a foreigner's house. And at the end of your life, you will lament when your physical body has been consumed. And when you say, how I hated discipline and how my heart despised correction. I didn't obey my teachers or listen closely to my instructors. I am on the verge of complete ruin before the entire community. We see that if you accept this invitation, right, of secret pleasure, regret is a consequence. Those who accept this invitation go down the long road of regret. Sexual sin takes and never gives. It gets more and more enslaving, and it requires more and more to keep it happy. And verses 7 through 14 of chapter 5 shows us the end of that road. Someone who has spent their life just pursuing all of the lust of their flesh, and looking back on it and saying, man, I rejected the instruction that I was given when I was young. And I pursued my own way and I pursued my own desires. And now I'm on the verge of destruction, which is the ultimate consequence of pursuing our own secret pleasures. Chapter 7, verse 21 says, she seduces him with her persistent pleading and she lures him with her flattering talk. And he follows her impulsively. Straight away, he follows after her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer bounding toward a trap, until an arrow pierces its liver like birds darting into a snare. He doesn't know that it will cost him his life. So there's no way around it, right? This also leads to destruction. So we see these two invitations, the good life party, the secret pleasure party, and these invitations are invitations that you're going to be receiving all the time, especially as you go through your teen years. And the target for both of these invitations are the youth, the inexperienced teen. It's this group that gets the invitation for the good life party and the secret pleasure party. It's not saying that it's not a temptation for those older. It definitely is. Those temptations don't go away. But what does Satan do? Satan looks at the group, and I think not only is inexperienced, but it has the most potential. Right? It's not that teens are just these, you know, simple people that just don't know anything. No, you guys are smart. You guys have potential. You guys have energy. You guys have opportunity. And man, if the devil can ensnare you right now and get you going down one of these paths right now, the further you go down those roads, the harder it is to climb out of it. And so he invites the young. You know, if I were to ask, what are the biggest temptations for teens today? At least in the top five would be these two: negative peer pressure and sexual temptation. Negative peer pressure, the good life party. Follow this group, it's up to no good. Sexual temptation, the secret pleasure party. You've been invited to join these parties, and they're enticing and convincing, and it speaks to your own simple heart, and you're going to want to accept the invitation. But that's not the only invitation that you've received. Right? It's not just a matter of, I just got to resist all these things, I just got to say no, 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 no. There's another voice out there. There's another invitation that you've gotten. And this whole book is about pursuing something, not just running away from something, not just looking around and being scared about any temptation around any corner, but it's pursuing something, something better, something far more satisfying. And really, the first nine chapters of Proverbs are like a sales pitch for wisdom, where Solomon is saying, I just want to convince you that it's worth it. And he spends chapter after chapter saying, here's what you get with wisdom. Here's what you receive with wisdom. This is why it's worth it. This is why wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and precious jewels. So, finally, you've been invited to the Way of Wisdom party. Sounds like a good time, right? Let's look in chapter 8, Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8. So, this is right after talking about the temptation to sin. Proverbs 8. Verse 1 says, doesn't wisdom call out? Doesn't understanding make her voice heard? At the heights overlooking the roads, at the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gate leading to the city. At the main entrance, she cries out, people, I call out to you. My cry is to the children of Adam. Learn to be prudent, you who are inexperienced. Come to common sense, you who are foolish. So, while the good life party and the secret pleasure party are hiding in the shadows, you know, whispering, hey, come on over here, come on over here. This is good. Follow me, right? Wisdom is in the grates, like on the heights, in the crossroads, yelling, being like, come to me. You can look at this in really chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 8, all right? What happens if you accept the invitation to pursue wisdom? Look in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Look in verse 7. Proverbs 2:7. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield to those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the paths of the justice and protect the way of his faithful followers. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and integrity in every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will delight you, and discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. What will it guard you from? It'll rescue you from the way of evil, from anyone who says perverse things, from those who abandon the right paths to walk in the way of darkness, from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. So it guards you from the good life party, doesn't it? What else does it guard you from? Verse 16, it'll rescue you from the forbidden woman, from the wayward woman with her flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth and forgets her covenant with God. So it guards you from the secret pleasure party. So what happens if you accept this invitation? Wisdom gives you safety and guidance. Wisdom gives you safety and guidance. And again, don't fill in chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. I really messed up. Wisdom gives you safety and guidance. What else does wisdom give you? Wisdom gives you life. Wisdom gives you life. Look in chapter 3. verse 13. Romans chapter 3, or sorry, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and acquires understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths peaceful. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. Wisdom gives life. Wisdom gives safety. And as you learned last week and the week before, it all begins with the fear of the Lord. In fact, Proverbs 2 says, if you pursue wisdom and search for it as silver, you will know the fear of the Lord. The pursuit of wisdom brings you to God. But what happens if you reject this? What happens if you reject this invitation of wisdom? Look in Proverbs chapter 1 and let's start in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls out in the streets. She makes her voice heard in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion and speaks at the entrance of the city. How long, inexperienced ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking and you fools hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. And then look at this. Since I called and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention, since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction, I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer, and they will search for me, but they won't find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They were not interested in my counsel, and they rejected all my correction. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be glutted by their own schemes. For the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will live securely and be undisturbed by the dread of danger. You know, whenever you read through the Proverbs, you see a lot of mentions about wisdom giving riches, long life, success. You know, please understand, these are not promises of God. Proverbs are not promises. It's not saying that if you do good and you're wise, your life will be great. You won't have any problems. Everything will be wonderful. It's not what it's saying. We can even look at the book of Job, right? Job is wise. Job was wiser than anyone. And did he have a good life? No, not really. This isn't a health and wealth message. This isn't saying, yeah, if you follow wisdom, nothing bad will happen to you. Proverbs are statements of general truth. So what's the general truth here? You know, as you look at the consequences of both the good life party and the secret pleasure party, in both instances, when it talks about the destruction at the end, do you know what it says? It says, it's destruction of your own making. You're basically eating the fruit of your own actions. It's self-inflicted wounds. That's what foolishness gets you. Self-inflicted wounds. Your own deeds create destruction in your life. You cannot be guaranteed total protection from the sins of others, can't you? You can live wisely, you can live righteously, you can pursue God with everything in you. And can you still suffer from the sins of others? Absolutely you can. You're not immune from that. You can live righteously, godly, wisely, and you're not immune from just the circumstances of life, just the bad stuff that happens. Those are all part of the Christian life. But what wisdom can protect you from are those self-inflicted wounds. The bad and sinful decisions you make that have built-in consequences. You know, life is already difficult as it is without us adding pain from our own choices. And if you talk to anyone who's lived any number of years, right, and they talk about the difficulty that they've gone through in their life, it's usually a combination of both. You know, I had these things done to me, and then I added on top of that with my own sinful decisions. I have my own self-inflicted wounds. Life is full of necessary pain and unavoidable pain. But the path of foolishness adds to that unnecessary and avoidable pain. The way of wisdom is safety, life, and joy. As you go through those difficulties that you are bound to face. It's going to happen. You're going to go through difficulties, but wouldn't you want to go through those difficult times with wisdom, with discretion, with discernment, with knowledge, with the fear of the Lord? Not foolishly, not just chasing after your own desires, not giving in to every enticement, every invitation that comes your way, but pursuing wisdom. So that when you do face those really, really tough things in your life, you have that relationship with Christ. You have that knowledge that only Christ can give you. That discernment and focus that only Christ can give you to navigate through those tough times. So you don't have to add those self-inflicted wounds onto your life. So which invitation are you going to pursue? Which call are you going to follow? Just know, you are going to receive those invitations, if you haven't already. I'm sure you already have. But in those invitations to all those sinful ways, don't forget that wisdom calls out louder than any of them. And wisdom is found in this book. Not just the book of Proverbs, but in the Scriptures. And wisdom is found in the fear of God. As you grow in your walk with Him and your relationship with Him, in your reverence and submission to who He is, you'll be on the path to wisdom. And it's going to guard you, and it's going to give you life as you go through trials. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for giving us this book. And as we embark in the weeks to come on really practical stuff like laziness and diligence and speech and anger and wealth and all these things that our lives are filled with, Lord, I pray You'd help us. Give each person here discernment and a desire for wisdom. I mean, that's really the point of these first 9 chapters, is trying to instill a desire, a craving for wisdom so that we can pursue it. Lord, everyone in this room has so much potential, has God willing, so much life ahead of them. And I pray, Lord, that You would put them on the right path, that they would pursue the way of wisdom over sin, over peer pressure, over pleasure, whatever the case may be, Lord. Give them focus. Give them clarity to pursue the right thing. In Jesus' name, amen.